Radio Prague News.
Doctors registered a record number of new HIV cases in the Czech Republic last year. The first EU anti-corruption report has highlighted the Czech Republic's problems with public procurement. And President Miloš Zeman's approval rating has risen slightly, a new poll has found. Czech doctors last year registered 235 new HIV cases in the country, the highest number on record, the National Institute of Public Health said on Monday. In 2013, 211 men and 24 women contracted the infection, which was 23 people more than the previous year. 9 people died of AIDS, while another 6 people with HIV died of other causes in 2013. Health authorities say diminishing concern about contracting the deadly infection is one of the factors behind the rising numbers of cases. The inaugural anti-corruption report released by the European Commission on Monday highlights the Czech Republic's problems with public procurement and abuse of public funds. Some 95% of people consider corruption a widespread phenomenon in the Czech Republic, the report says, quoting a survey by the EU's polling agency Eurobarometer. The report urges the Czech Republic to adopt civil service legislation and to overhaul rules for the financing of political parties. The EU-wide report says that corruption levels in the bloc are breathtaking and cost the European economy at least 120 billion euro each year. The Czech economy is showing signs of substantial recovery, the news website ihned.cz reported on Monday. The country's purchasing managers' index, based on the volume of new industrial orders, rose by 1.8 points to 55.9 points in January, the highest it has been since May 2011, according to the consultancy Market Economics. The Czech employment rate, meanwhile, exceeded 68% in the fourth quarter of last year, which was the highest level since 1998, according to data by the Czech Statistics Office. The unemployment rate, meanwhile, calculating according to methods by the International Labour Organization, dropped annually by 0.4% to 6.8% in the same period. Analysts believe the latest figures show a positive outlook for the Czech economy in 2014. President Miloš Zeman's approval rating reached 42% in January, according to a poll by the CVVM agency released on Monday. That is 1% more than in the previous month, but much less than last April, when 61% of those polled said they trusted the president. The most trusted institutions are mayors and local councils with an approval rating of 61%. Some 10% of people surveyed said in January they were satisfied with the political situation in the Czech Republic, which was 7% more than in the same period last year. The Czech Foreign Ministry and NGOs have distributed over 160 million crowns in aid to Syria since the crisis began. The Cheteka news agency reported on Monday, citing the country's leading humanitarian organization, People in Need. According to People in Need, close to 40% of the NGO's aid budget is now going to Syria, where the organization operates 2 offices with the help of 50 local volunteers. The NGO supports 25 schools in the country and distributes daily bread portions to 20,000 people. It also brings aid to refugee camps in surrounding countries such as Turkey and Jordan. The Czech-born, Lebanon-based fashion designer Blanka Matragi will design new uniforms for Czech Airlines and other parts of the Czech Aero holding, a spokeswoman for the group said on Monday. The state-owned firm chose Matragi, who settled in Lebanon in the 1970s, from among 14 designers. The designer will have to respect the firm's color scheme dominated by dark blue. Czech Airlines also want the new uniforms to be more conservative than the currently used attires. Czech Airlines flight attendants and other employees should get the new uniforms in 2015. Czech President Miloš Zeman will spend 4 days at the Olympic Games in Sochi, a spokesman for his office said. Mr. Zeman, who will arrive in Sochi on Thursday, will dine with members of the Czech Olympic team. On Friday, the Czech head of state is set to attend a reception held by Russia's President Vladimir Putin for foreign officials before attending the opening ceremony of the Games. The president will also like to see a speed skating event during his visit so that he can express support for Czech champion Martina Sáblíková. Other Czech officials who are set to visit the Olympic Games in Sochi include the speakers of the Senate and the Chamber of Deputies, Milan Štěch and Jan Hamáček, as well as the head of the Czech Roman Catholic Church, Cardinal Dominik Duka. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The start of the week should be partially cloudy with daytime highs ranging between -2 and +2 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Pavla Horáková. Coming up today, in their 50s and unemployed, we look at the prospects people in this age group face on the Czech job market. As every Monday, we bring you a roundup of Czech sports news, and marijuana cultivation suppliers have been in the news lately after a series of police raids. In one-on-one, we meet Michal Otipka, who operates four grow shops.
The argument that the marijuana is stronger these days, okay, it's like with alcohol. You can drink 10 beers or you can have 10 shots. Yeah, if you have something which is stronger, maybe you can smoke less.
All that coming your way, so please stay with us. More than 500,000 Czechs are currently out of work, and the prospects are particularly bleak for people in their 50s, who are too young to retire, but by all accounts too old to be of interest to potential employers. People who find themselves out of a job in this age group have only a 50% chance of getting employed, and the threat of never finding work again is very real. This is something that the NGO Alternativa 50 Plus is trying to change. Daniela Lazarová has the story.
Jarmila Laznová is in her early 50s. When she was made redundant as an administrative worker, she thought her computer skills and good working knowledge of German would stand her in good stead on the job market. She sent out hundreds of job applications and motivation letters, but 2 years later, she has come no closer to finding work. She says the experience is extremely daunting.
You meet with total disinterest. I browse all the job sites constantly. I send out hundreds of CVs and nothing. I got invited to a few job interviews over those 2 years, but was always politely turned down. At best, people just write back and say they picked another applicant.
The head of Alternativa 50 Plus, Nikola Šimandlová, says this happens all the time. There are over 600,000 people currently out of work and approximately 40,000 job vacancies on the market. And the chances that employers will pick someone in their 50s are small.
I think the main reason is that these prejudices exist in Czech society. People in their 50s are automatically expected to be less flexible in learning new things, computer illiterate and low on foreign language skills. And so they often get weeded out without being given a chance. It's the same as with other forms of discrimination. The employer will not say outright, "You are too young for us," or "too old," or "just back from maternity leave." They will simply not consider you. But we speak to people whom we are helping, and it is clear that this is something they come up against.
The number of unemployed aged over 50 has risen with every passing year, and especially in some fields, an older person's chances of finding work are practically non-existent. Alternativa 50 Plus helps them pick requalification courses, gives them fresh motivation as well as psychological and legal advice. Nikola Šimandlová says getting independent advice and meeting others with the same problem helps.
People who find themselves out of a job should remain active and keep trying. I realize that it is disheartening to send out 100 job applications and get turned down every time. So we try to keep their spirits up, motivate them, and if possible, increase their chances of success by helping them improve their CV or suggest a requalification course that might be good for them. It is very important that they do not succumb to depression and a feeling of uselessness, although sometimes it is very hard to avoid that.
Labour experts believe that unless coordinated action is taken by the Labour Ministry, the public and the private sphere to increase job opportunities for older people, by 2050 most people in the 50-plus age bracket will be dependent on state handouts.
Daniela Lazarová with that report. Now, a roundup of Czech sports news is up next with Ian Willoughby.
We start today with tennis and the news that the Czech Republic, winners of the Davis Cup in 2012 and 2013, have qualified for this year's quarterfinals after overcoming the Netherlands in Ostrava at the weekend. The hosts fell behind on Friday when Robin Hasse beat Radek Štěpánek, who was inspirational in the last two finals. But then Tomáš Berdych turned things around for the Czechs. He beat Igor Sisling, triumphed in the doubles alongside Štěpánek, and then dispatched Tiemo de Becker on Sunday to give the title holders an unassailable 3-1 lead. The Czechs' non-playing captain Jaroslav Navratil said the performances of the Australian Open semi-finalist had made the difference.
The first 2 days were really tense. The doubles rubber was key to the victory. I think the only player who stood out was Tomáš Berdych, because he really played great tennis all 3 days. He has maintained his form from Australia, and he was a class above all the other players.
In the next round, the Czech Republic face a trip to Japan, who've never previously reached the quarterfinals. There has been speculation that Berdych would prefer to focus on his own career and may not make himself available for selection for April's tie. But the world number 7 says no decision has yet been made.
When some people have mentioned that it was my last match and asked whether I would bid farewell, I have immediately and resolutely said that nothing of the sort was under consideration. For now, I'm still standing. The situation is still the same, and we'll see how the whole year develops.
Tomáš Berdych. In women's tennis, the Czech Republic will be without Petra Kvitová in their Davis Cup first-round tie against Spain next weekend. The world number 6 is suffering from a virus. Moving on to cycling, and Zdeněk Štybar has for the third time been crowned world cyclocross champion. Remarkably, he only decided on Thursday to take part in this year's World Championships near the Dutch village of Hegerheide. What's more, Štybar had to overcome several obstacles. He had a number of beers thrown at him by boisterous fans of his Belgian rival Sven Nys, fell in the mud on the second last round, and received a poor starting position because he hasn't concentrated on cyclocross in recent seasons, preferring instead to focus on road racing.
It cost me a huge amount of energy because I started in the fourth line. On top of that, some riders in front of me almost fell, so I had to brake. I think that at the start of the road section I was somewhere in 50th or 60th position, but I succeeded in working my way to the front.
That's all the sport for today.
A reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for One-on-One. Czechs are regarded as having a relatively liberal attitude to the smoking of soft drugs. However, the law is not always entirely clear in this area, leading to disputes. One such dispute is the subject of this week's One-on-One, in which Ian Willoughby meets grow shop owner Michal Otipka.
In November, the Czech police's drugs unit raided dozens of grow shops, businesses that sell products needed for the cultivation of marijuana. The police justified the large-scale confiscation of goods on the grounds that a court had ruled it was illegal for the shops to offer in one place everything needed to grow the drug, from seeds to literature. This is hotly disputed by the grow shop owners, including my guest today, Michal Otipka, who runs 4 in Prague. Before we get on to the legal niceties, I asked Otipka how he'd first got into the business.
The thing is, I've been studying the Economical University here in Prague, and I met two very interesting guys, and basically it was idea of my friend. He was kind of a music freak, kind of a DJ pioneer, and he moved to Holland. He used to work in a shop with the vinyl records, and there he saw the whole culture. He came back to Czech, he opened some DJ stores and vinyl record shop, and also he said that Maybe it could be a good idea to open something like a grow shop.
Which I guess he would have seen in Holland and elsewhere in Europe.
He saw it in Holland, he saw it in Europe. He made a new friends in Germany, which we are on the market. It's 16, 17 years ago. Germany was pretty restrictive country. And in Berlin, there is one of the biggest shops in Europe. Basically, we used to call it grow shop. Now they want to be more politically correct in Western Europe, so they call it urban green concept and these things. Basically, it's fertilizers, pots, soils, and all these things. Yeah.
I came here in the early 1990s, and in those days, it was quite common to see people smoking marijuana in bars and clubs. Do you think in those days people associated smoking with freedom?
It's for me, it's like an indicator of freedom. Yeah, I think maybe the thing is, one thing is smoking marijuana. Second thing is our shop. There has to be a clear line, but there is some style of living or some culture. I think nowadays people are smoking maybe even more than 20 years before.
And also what they're smoking today seems to be, from what I'm told, is stronger than what they were smoking. Because when I first came here, people said that the Czech marijuana was from the cottage. It was quite weak. Now it's much stronger. Is that partly because of the success of the grow shops?
I think it's a natural development. Yeah. It's new strains. More people are involved. Better technology, better fertilizers, better access to the information. I think it's thanks to internet. Yeah. On internet you can find everything. It's speeding the business a lot. By the way, the argument that the marijuana is stronger these days, okay, it's like with alcohol. You can drink 10 beers or you can have 10 shots. Yeah. If you have something which is stronger, maybe you can smoke less to get to the desired state of mind. Yeah.
I know this isn't your area exactly, but I do have to ask for our listeners who don't know the legal situation here, what is the legal situation regarding the possession of marijuana in the Czech Republic?
The thing is, they made a stupid law. I think it's a unique law in the world. You can have amount which is smaller than big, which is actually funny, because for some people half a kilo is not enough, and for some people half a gram it's too much. Yeah, so it leaves big space for speculations, and it's not a law. There was some kind of recipe from the police, from government authorities, saying that you can have, I think, 15 grams of marijuana, but Supreme Court has decided half a year ago that they agree with this, but they haven't done it in 100 proper legal way, so they have to cancel this regulation. So basically, now even possessing one joint, it's a crime, which most of people, they just don't know it. Yeah.
But it's not a crime, it's a misdemeanor.
But the police, they try to pretend that they are totally stupid, so they solve it like official crime. So basically we are getting to the situation that they steal your wallet, that they break into your car, you go to police and they tell you, hey, we don't have capacities to solve this. But if they want to make a pressure, by the way, 1 month ago they went to clubs, they make a raid. If you have been smoking, they search you and they took you to a police station like a real criminal and they open something like a case. Yeah.
Before Christmas, some of your grow shops and many other grow shops around the country were raided by the police, by the police's drugs unit. Why did it happen when it happened?
It's a question. I just don't know why it happened. There are two main, let's say, theories. One is the first one. It's like conspiracy theory that some ex-politicians, some so-called mafia groups, they try to, and also there are interests of big pharmaceutical companies, that they try to overtake the business. They want to clear up the market for the medical marijuana and this madness which is in state, so they smell money, so they want to solve it this way. Maybe it's possible, but I'm not the biggest fan of this theory. Second theory, it's like with the fall of the government of with Mr. Nečas, police and state attorneys are trying to how to say, get stronger in Czech Republic. We had no government, or we had no strong government. So I'm afraid that it's a decision of one, two, maximum three people who are so high and has such a power without the control. So they decided to just to try it. Yeah.
If I understand it right, a court ruled last year or the year before last year that grow shops aren't allowed to sell all the paraphernalia needed to produce marijuana.
Basically, it's a little bit different story, which has been misinterpreted about 1,000 times. And as we say, if you repeat a lie 1,000 times, it's become true. So the whole story is that two guys on a small city, basically, even after 1 year, I found out it's a minor detail, but it could be important. They were two gays making house party in a small city. The mayor of a city was like very conservative, and they call it the police, they call it the local game. You have a small city in a best restaurant in a small city, very often the only one there. On one table, there meet the mayor, chief of police, state attorney, and sometimes the judge. So on the base, there were two trials on the base level. So I don't know how to translate it in English. If you read it, there was no defense. The judge, he didn't take any in his consideration. He was just copying and repeating what the police has been saying. They send it to the Supreme Court, like the appeal, but they made a mistake in this letter. So the Supreme Court hasn't been deciding in the case, but it was just a formal decision. Yeah, it's one thing. Second thing, we don't have the Anglo-Saxon or the American system of law. And other thing is the most important judicates are published every year or every half a year. It's called Green Book of Judicates, but this is not there. Yeah? And what happened two months ago, the judge, Mrs. Kurková, who has been in charge in this case, she sent a message to the chief of anti-drug police that they are not allowed or they shouldn't use the judicate the way they are using. And the judicate was just a formal decision and hasn't been meant to unify the court decisions. Yeah. So the police was looking for a weapon, but they took the first one they saw and they took the wrong one, I'm sure, with this. Yeah.
So what is happening now with your businesses? You have four grow shops. There are many others that have also been raided and had their stuff seized. What's the situation now?
The thing is, it's already 2 months. They have confiscated us the goods in the value of $1 million. It's 2 months. They confiscated the cash, but they haven't blocked the bank accounts. They took the goods. I asked them, okay, so does it mean that I'm not allowed to continue my business, to run my business? They said, no, it's not a problem. You can continue. Just I'm curious what you're going to sell when we took you all the things, all the goods. Yeah. It's even more strange because in May last year, they have been happening in Prague, sorry, in Parukáska. There was 9,000 people and we had our promo stand.
Sorry, that means million marijuana march?
Yeah, exactly. And we had there our promo stand. And the chief of toxic team of anti-drug police in that district, very nice lady, she came there with a group of their investigators. They came to our stand and we had a long discussion with them. I'm sure that they made a record of it. It's on the police camera. They tape it for evidence. And we discussed the situation with them. We made a clear deal. She said, okay, you are not allowed to have books and manuals here. Please hide it. And the rest is okay for me. And 5 months after that, the same team with the same boss, she's coming to my shop and confiscating all the goods. So I asked her, hey, you are the guilty one. You told me that I can and now you are persecuting me. They felt ashamed. They were looking to the ground and saying, sorry, we get new orders. We had to follow the orders. That's the structure.
Is your industry taking any kind of coordinated action to fight back against the legal situation and what's been happening?
Yes, what we are doing, it's like coordinated action. They wanted to make a picture that it's not a big raid. So it's 50 individual cases, which is much worse for us, much harder for us to defend. On the other hand, there were some minor violations of law in some cases. So on the other hand, it's good that we are not connected with those people. First thing we had some meetings, and the first thing is to share the information. On the other hand, we are under the threat of police that they could prosecute us as an organized crime group. Yeah, so we have to be very careful with this. But it's very funny. You would expect that the police is working on some level of 21st century. Fuck, they are not able to use internet. They don't have internet in their offices. They came to us. It's a funny story. 20 police officers came to my shop. They didn't know that it has two floors. They had only one computer. The computer was 10 years old. I got to the interview with the police, and I knew exactly what is going northeast, northwest, what is going on the south, that in some places police has apologized. They gave back the t-shirts, somewhere the cosmetics. They were surprised. They didn't have this information. Yeah. So you would expect government authorities to work on some coordinated level, and you face very sad reality when you go there. Yeah.
Grow shop owner Michal Otipka, and he was talking to Radio Prague's Ian Willoughby. And that's it for today's program. You can listen back to the stories online at radio.cz. Please drop us a line at english@radio.cz or leave us a comment on Facebook. From me, Pavla Horáková, and all of my colleagues here at Radio Prague, it's goodbye and thanks for tuning in.